I feel like I'm getting robbed when I bet the finals on a sportsbook.
Dude, delete that app. You need to be using Polymarket.
Polymarket?
Polymarket is a prediction market, not a sportsbook. You trade against other fans, not the house. That means more money for you and less for greedy sportsbooks.
Even during the finals?
Especially during the finals. You can even trade on whether Trump or Chalamet will attend the games.
No way. What's the catch?
No catch. And it's available in all 50 states. Polymarket is so confident you'll never go back, they're giving you $50 free on your first trade.
I'm deleting my sportsbook app. How do I get started?
Download Polymarket now and use promo code BUZZ for $50 free for your first trade. Stop letting sportsbooks steal from you. Download Polymarket and use promo code BUZZ for $50 free on your first trade. Use promo code BUZZ.
Trading not available in all jurisdictions. Check local regulations before trading. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Andy Robertson, Scott McTominay and Ryan Fraser are the latest Scotland players to pull out of Stevie Clark's squad. Ryan Jack says club rivalries are put to one side on international duty. And could John Kennedy be the next Hibs manager? I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Gordon DL and Roger Hannah.
And the studio is overflowing with love tonight, Gordon. We love a title fight in the Premiership that's on a knife edge. We love Scotland's chances of making it to a major final. The place is overflowing with love for Hugh and his 70th birthday. And if you don't feel the love tonight, we're sending Raheem Sterling round.
He came in late and that was fantastic, Roger. Well done. He's got us off to a good start. No, looking forward to the international break now, Gordon.
No, I think a lot. No, you're not.
No, I've got to be honest, I'm not, but I had to say something, didn't I? Well, I think the players that are not playing in the international games will be looking forward to the international break. Gives them a bit of a rest. You know, two games, a lot of call-off. But what it does, it gives someone, you know, maybe a Ryan Jack, for instance, an opportunity to come in and show what he can do. Be very interesting, the two lineups this week. I wonder if there's any more call-offs to come.
The harsh reality of it is that some people are seeing these international breaks as an inconvenience at the moment, Roger, partly because of the way things are with the national side, but also because of the way it's been heating up on the domestic front as well. And it almost seems like a shame to step away from it for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I always think that. This has only been the last few years we've had these international weeks of football, as UEFA call them. There's one in September, one in October, one in November, and every time the league season seems to be building up to something, there's an international break. And because the Scotland national team hasn't been doing as well as we would like, Gordon, these international breaks always seem to be a little bit of an anti-climax. But we're all about positivity in here tonight. We're all about positive about Scotland's chances of finishing the group on a high, taking third place in the group, back-to-back wins against Cyprus and Kazakhstan, and hopefully getting a bit of a feel-good factor into Steve Clark's plans before the real business in March, an international break that we can all look forward to.
On the domestic front, Gordon, a lot of people predicted that this season would be close come the end of the season, and it might be, it might not be, we'll find out in May, but did you expect it to be as close as this by the time we got to the final international break of the year?
No, not at all. I thought that obviously points would be dropped. Yes, we all know that. But at home, I don't. I'm going to predict that both teams, apart from each other, will go through the season at home without losing a game, Gordon. So it'll be all, for me, the title will be all a case of who can be the strongest on the road. We've already seen that both teams can drop points away from home. So it's going to be really interesting. It's fantastic. It really is. And also, I think what adds to the flavour of it is you look at Hearts and Hibs without managers now, down near the bottom of the league, fighting relegation at this moment. So there's a lot of exciting times. Motherwell up there doing fantastically well. Aberdeen back up into third. I think Roger's right. Yeah, international break is good for some players to give them a bit of rest because it is a long, long season. But for us guys, the domestic football, it's what it's all about for me.
How do you make, or what do you make, should I say, Roger, of the picture at the moment, the way things lie as we head into this break?
Well, it could hardly be tighter, couldn't it? You were almost just waiting for Rangers to get a third goal at Livingston late on in the game just to take us into the international break. Absolutely dead level in terms of goal difference as well. You can't separate them at all. If you look at the games between now and the next split, which is going to be the winter break, if you like, Gordon, looks on paper, Rangers maybe have the trickier run of fixtures, finishing, of course, at Celtic Park in the last game before the break. For me, if Rangers can stay with Celtic up until the winter break, listen, we really do have a title fight on.
01419511025. That's the number you need tonight. It's at Clyde SSB on Twitter. So let's get stuck in on some of today's breaking news, which unfortunately is centred around the list of players who won't be playing for Scotland in the forthcoming internationals. Andy Robertson, Scott McTominay, Ryan Fraser, three important players, three very good players, three players plying their trade in the English Premier League, have all pulled out. They join the likes of Liam Cooper. Graham Shinney and Lewis Morgan have been called in as replacements, as has Ryan Porteous, which has just been confirmed in the last couple of minutes. The Hibs defender has been called up. We're obviously very short in that area as well, with Liam Cooper pulling out and various others unavailable. So Ryan Porteous has been added to the Scotland squad as well. The great thing about this show, Roger, it's a very powerful programme, as you well know, and I actually contacted the Scottish FA last week to say, look, Roger Hannah, it's the only topic that really gets him going, so if you could just wait until a Tuesday night to make sure everyone pulls out on a Tuesday, that way we can really wind him up and get him going. Go on then, the floor is yours.
No, it's all about positivity tonight, Gordon.
You're a new man.
I have told you this. I am going to take these injury withdrawals at face value. Andy Robertson, my understanding is he's got an ankle knock. Liam Cooper, who pulled out yesterday, was taken off during Leeds game against Blackburn at the weekend. Scott McTominay was taken off during Manchester United's win over Brighton on Sunday. Ryan Fraser has had issues with injury to contend with. So I'm going to give them all the benefit of the doubt. Everyone is injured as they say they are, and Steve Clarke is just unfortunately going to have to get on with it. It opens the door to, you would think, Greg Taylor, who's seen precious little time in a Celtic jersey this season, to start the game at left back in Cyprus on Saturday. It'll be interesting to see who plays further up, whether, as Dan says, it opens the door for Ryan Jack, or whether it's going to be a midfield of McGinn, McGregor and Christie in the absence of McTominay. And further forward, the Ryan Fraser position, does that mean Stephen Naismith maybe get a chance in there, a 50th cap for Scotland?
That won't last long. We'll break him before long, Gordon Dyer. We'll have him ranting and raving and banging his fists on the desk like he was last week. So you're going to need to play bad cop for the moment. Yes, these guys might be genuinely injured. I mean, I think Scott McTominay ended up getting stretchered up the tunnel, and that's not to say these guys are at it as such, but overall the perception is that this is happening far too often and it's becoming a bit of a farce. That's the perception.
Yeah, the one person I feel for is the manager. He's just in the job. It didn't go too well at the beginning, Gordon. He's coming off a 6-0 win. He wants to build on that. He wants his best players. He wants to work with them, because you don't get these players too often. And obviously with the games coming up in this, March, he's got to try and figure out his best team, his best formation. But just every time he sort of hears his phone going, he realises here's another one coming. But going back to the positives, the Roger Hanners of a Tuesday night, I do think it gives an opportunity to other people that we've had the phone calls about, the Ryan Jacks of this world, and Roger said there, Greg Taylor, who's hardly been featured at Celtic Park, opportunity to come in, get game time. So I'll be interested to see how what he starts with.
Right, okay, let's hear from you on this one then. On the phone, 01419511025, another raft of withdrawals from the Scotland squad. Are you fine with it? Is it just bad luck? Is it just a case of players being injured and we're not getting the rub of the green? Or is it a sign that something's not right, a sign of where we're at as a national team? You decide on the phones. 01419511025. Eddie in Tullybody's going to lead us off. Hi, Eddie.
Hi there.
Hello, what's your take on this then, Eddie?
See, what it is, honestly, I think that the players just simply do not want to play for the national squad. Not all the players. But you look at the other national sides like England or Northern Ireland, they get one or two injuries every every sort of international game that they've got to play. I think we've got something like seven in total. There's four today and so many a few days ago. Not even that, though. You've also got players retiring like Robert Snodgrass, and fair enough, James Morrison's not been around for a little while. But at the age of 31, 32, they're retiring for international duty. I seem to think that the players just they don't want to play for them. And on top of that, I think it's like the Premier League. I think the Premier League clubs are perhaps telling their players that, I understand, you know, at the weekend there was quite a few injuries, people coming off, and I understand that they are genuine. But look at Kieran Tierney, he's fully fit again. And Arsenal have asked for him not to be in the team.
Roger, what more can we do then? That's maybe the because rather than we can accuse these guys, you know, these guys are genuinely injured. They were at the weekend, but there is a bigger picture here, as Eddie points out. So what can Scotland as an association, maybe Stevie Clark as a manager, what do we do?
Well, you could theoretically do what Northern Ireland did last season. Kyle Lafferty, when he was still at Rangers, pulled out a Northern Ireland squad, and there was a likelihood he was going to be involved with Rangers the following Saturday. Northern Ireland invoked FIFA rules, and that blocked him from playing for Rangers the following weekend. The SFA don't want to go down that route, and I can understand why. They don't want to spark controversy with the clubs. They don't want to annoy the player, because the player might not come back. It's a difficult line we walk at the minute. A lot of these guys in their 30s in the English Premier League are on huge sums of money, life-changing sums of money, and they have made a career decision that they don't want to jeopardise those sums of money by coming away and playing for Scotland. I think it would be different if Scotland had a successful team. If Scotland were going to European finals and going to World Cups, then the players would come along and play, because it enhances their careers.
Surely that's no use to us though then. Surely if you're committed, you're committed.
Nobody's pretending it's of any use to us. But that's the reality of it. That's what Eddie's talking about. Arsenal haven't even tried to disguise it in the last couple of squad announcements. They've just said Kieran Tierney is not coming.
You said that, you know, it's difficult. It's a delicate situation. The Scottish FA might not want to upset clubs, might not want to upset players. Are we perhaps at a stage though where tough, they're going to have to upset clubs and they're going to have to upset players?
At any point, I know what you're saying, right? Let's be strong here. Let's turn around and say to these clubs, forget that, we want your players. See, to be honest, Gordon, it goes behind the scenes. Players and managers will talk, clubs will talk to their players. Do you want players that really don't want to come up and play against Cyprus? Do you really want that? Then force them into it. Roger's right.
Well, hold on. That's different.
Not an appeal.
That's different. That argument works if the player is the one who's saying, I don't want to go. But as far as we're led to believe, if it's Kieran Tierney or if it's anyone else, it's the club that's making the decision. So why not stand up to the club?
We only think that the club is making the decision.
Well, listen, we can't go on anything else.
I can totally understand a player. Now, we can't turn around and say, for instance, McTominay, Robertson and Fraser might, you know, could have been fit to play. I totally understand, but the player will have a say in it. He will be involved in the conversation. But Roger's right just now. I've got to say, middle of November, no disrespect, if I was playing with Liverpool, and it came, and I looked at these two games, and I'm on 80 grand a week, would I be wanting to put myself up here and play? I would probably say no.
And
the
reality though, Gordon, I'll tell you why. The reality is, international football is now secondary to club football. That's the reality. Now, I don't like that. I don't think you like it either. But that is the reality. And the way the players talk about it, international football is secondary now to club football. It's a shame.
Eddie, what do you think?
I think that's only in Scotland it's secondary to club football. I genuinely think it is. You know, you look at the England national side, and every single English player wants to play for England. You don't get anyone pulling out with injuries. I think the England national side is on par or maybe just above their sort of other clubs like Man City and the Liverpools. In Scotland, I don't think you've got players who... You're right, it is. It's a secondary to their club side. It's totally secondary. Whereas I think the only way you can fix these sort of things is forget about your big guys and just start, you know, inviting younger players in. The younger sides are doing fantastic. So get a few of these guys in the squads for games like this, because I'm on this... I like looking on the Facebook Scotland FA page when they put the lineup on. And some of the picks, I can't understand it all. I do think Steve Clark is the right man for the job, but some of the players that he's picking, I just cannot seem to understand. I just do not understand why he keeps on picking the same the same players.
Is that fair, Roger? Because we are not blessed, let's be honest. We're not blessed with all these players to choose from. And I feel like a lot of different players have had a chance. You know, I mean, for instance, a lot of flack today going towards Stevie Clark for calling up Lewis Morgan because he's barely kicking a ball for Celtic. But it's not as if Lewis Morgan is behind a long list of talented attacking wingers who are playing every week. You know, we are at that stage, unfortunately. Once a couple drop out, you're not really spoiled for choice.
We're very much at this stage, and I certainly couldn't name another three or four or five players who you think this is an outrage. No. He's not in the Scotland squad. Why has Steve Clark not picked him? We're just not blessed with that depth of talent. And I think that's why we get so annoyed when the guys who should be in the squad, the best players, the best Scottish players, are inactive either through choice or through injury.
Let's hear from the Scotland camp, Scotland assistant Alex Dyer, Stevie Clark's number two, stressing the importance of these two qualifiers. Three fresh withdrawals today, as you well know, but he says all of these are genuinely injured and it's just something they have to deal with.
All the ones that are pulled out this time round, they're generally injured, you know what I mean? It's not like they wanted to be pulled out or didn't want to come. It's been taken out of hands. They are generally injured and they can't be here with us. Definitely not a dead rubber. You're representing your country, which is the main thing. So no matter who you play, you know, the opposition is you're representing and you want to be there. You know, you should be proud to be, you know, representing your country, which is the first thing. Second thing is, look, if they're injured, they're injured. You know, you can't do nothing about that. And we just got to concentrate on the ones that are here. They're the most important thing. You know, the players that are here who want to be here, who want to train and play well and do well for their country. It's part of the game. It's just part of football. We know we put a squad together and then, you know, there's still another round of fixtures and we know that, you know, we're going to get some pull-outs, you know, because that's just the way it is. It's football. And we just got to adapt and use the ones that are here, you know.
Thank you very much to Eddie in Tullybody. Alistair's next up in Corker Hill. Give us your take, Alistair.
Good evening, Gordon 1, Gordon 2 and Roger. Hello. International football, especially with Scotland just now, it's totally duff, Gordon, and I'm totally against weekend fixtures getting held up to supply the internationals in. My own opinion is it should be back on a Wednesday night and a Wednesday night only. We know that television pays the money to keep some countries afloat. But it's upsetting that I don't like it at all, breaking up my own weekend.
Well, that's well above our sort of, well, certainly above our pay grade, above even the Scottish FA's, because that's a UEFA thing, Gordon. It's now, it's changed. UEFA have certain dates in the calendar that are very much locked in. And as Roger says, it's now become a week of football. In fact, we're lucky to even get a Saturday qualifier this time. We don't get many of them. It's Fridays and Tuesdays and Sundays. So I appreciate Alistair's concern. That ain't changing anytime soon.
Where Alistair makes a good point, and I think a lot of people agree with him, Scottish international football is not exciting just now. It really isn't, Gordon. And, you know, I was very unfortunate through a few injuries that I didn't have caps. But it was always years ago, you were so proud to play for your country.
Just injuries, not ability, just question.
The amount of times I got called up and I had a small calf problem or a, you know, hamstring, it was incredible. But look, I put that aside and went on about my career. But I just think that players are not... Now, the caller before said about England, and I think Roger makes a great point. If you've got an opportunity and you're going to qualify for tournaments and you get into tournaments that you think you can win, that will excite you as a player.
But we're a couple of games away from that chance.
I know, but
not to say we'll take it, but the chance is there.
But we're in the middle of November and players, whether we like it or not, and I can't answer the question why, they're turning off to international football in Scotland. It's as simple as that. And I'm not saying any of these players are not injured, but it's call off after call off after call off. So there's something wrong somewhere, but I don't agree with saying, let's be the strong ones here and say to the clubs, no, we want these players in. I would rather go with a player, a younger player, and give him an opportunity.
And really, though, everything goes really well, and we get through the playoffs in March, and we get to Euro 2020 next summer, first finals in 22 years. It will be fascinating to see which 23 players Steve Clark was to pick for that.
Alistair, what do you think?
At the same time, I don't like people feigning injuries, Gordon, and I would actually not err on saying what Alec Dyer said. I think they're at it. I could get pulled up for what I'm saying, but at the same time, they're bread and butter, and who can blame them to a certain extent? But if Scotland were in a better state, the first thing I'd do if I was young enough again, I'd be itching to play. But they don't seem to be itching and want to play for Scotland anymore.
In fairness, Alistair, you won't be alone to say that I don't think these guys are really injured, but you have to, let's be very clear, you have to be fair. You're not basing that on anything at all, are you? There's absolutely nothing you could be basing that on.
Well, in case they lose their place with their club through injury, Gordon,
that doesn't prove anything though, Roger. And if you look at these three, for instance, to be fair to the guys, Scott McTominay, to my knowledge, has never pulled out of a Scotland squad before. He's a Man United player who in the past has come and sat on our bench when players at much smaller clubs have played in front of him. Andy Robertson, the captain, I believe, actually drove up today to be with the squad, to be part of the squad. So whilst we're all a bit frustrated, it's unfair to point fingers at these guys without knowing anything about it.
Yeah, and if you're right about Andy Robertson, a very positive move in this Tuesday night of positivity. Alec Dyer's right. Alec Dyer's gathered the players together with Steve Clark. There is no point now, as they're sitting in the team hotel, worrying about the people who aren't there, who aren't available. The coaching team now have to focus on the 23 or 24, whatever it is, guys who are there, and try and get a song out of them in these two games.
Well, Ryan Jack is there. Will this be an opportunity for him to play? We're going to hear from him after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon DL and Roger Hanna here with me, Gordon Duncan. We had a few minutes break listening to the travel. Still no call up for you two though for Scotland. We're not got that desperate yet.
We're just debating there off air whether or not Daz would be more likely to get a call up for the jungle than for Scotland.
Well, just now I am injured, unfortunately. Once again, when the opportunity is there, let me say, I was waiting for a phone call from Mark Wilson to go down to Annan tonight for a call up after the breaking to play centre forward.
That desperate, I don't think. But listen, everyone is a bit frustrated, angry, various other reactions on Twitter. Matthew tweeted at Clyde SSB. He says, "I don't know if Robertson is injured or not, but surely his situation is different. Look at Liverpool's fixtures in December. Would say it would be irresponsible of both Scotland and Liverpool to allow him to play two meaningless fixtures." Says,
well,
Matthew.
Are they any more meaningless than the two World Club Championship games that Liverpool are going to play? If I can play devil's advocate for a minute. Liverpool are having to play two games in 2 days. They're playing Aston Villa with a kids team in the Carabao Cup quarter final, and then these games in Qatar, I think it is, the World Club Championship. They most certainly are no more meaningful than the Scotland games coming up.
Gar is also on. He says, "The reason players don't turn up for international games is no one believes we will qualify. If we were to, everyone would be fit." And Ballingolly is a bit more scathing. "Players pulling out is the epitome of the softness from boardroom to the pitch, from Scotland spineless on and off the park. We're already in the mire and at the point of no return." Ballingolly's pulling no punches on Twitter. On the phones, it's 01419511025. We will hear from Rangers Ryan Jack very soon. Let's touch base with Gary and Airdrie, see what's on his mind. Hi Gary.
How you doing, mate?
Hello.
Good evening, fellas.
Hi Gary.
Just out of interest, Gordon, how much would it take to get you in the jungle?
50 quid.
No, I'd go higher than that.
What's it, who, Amber was just telling us, who's the highest paid this year?
$500,000.
Caitlin Jenner.
$500,000?
Yeah.
Would you do it for that?
I would do it for a bit less.
A bargain at half the price.
I think it'd be decent.
Cheers, Gary. Yeah, I think I'd be okay in there.
My point, guys, is really just to do with the Scotland team. I used to follow Scotland every game as a youngster, and now I'm just in the start of my 40s. I hardly watch any of them at all, and that's purely because the performances are quite disappointing, and a lot of the guys who we would consider to be either European class or world class players don't play, or they don't play well, or they pull out the squad. And my thoughts are really, one of you said earlier, and I can't remember who it was, sorry, but they said that they don't see us getting to like the finals, so there's no interest for them there to play. How are we ever going to get to that stage if our best players don't turn up and play so that they can get to those finals?
That is very much the chicken and the egg scenario, Gary. I tend to agree with you. Not a lot of players have turned up this time. I would hope that come March, when Scotland have got these Nations League playoffs and we can get into the finals, the Euro finals by the back door, if you like, that the penny will drop with them all. and they will all make themselves available. If they've got a sore ankle, or if they've got a sore knee, or a dodgy back, they suddenly say, oh, I'll tell you what, we'll play through the pain barrier this time, because we're within striking distance of a first major finals in 22 years. And if the world sees me at a major finals and sees me playing well, I may get a move to a bigger club and more money. So that might be enough to chase them along and persuade them to turn up en masse for those games in March, the important games in March. I'm less bothered by these two games, Cyprus and Kazakhstan. Whatever happens in these two games, and I hope we win both games, whatever happens, it's not going to define Steve Clarke's reign as Scotland manager or the players' spells in the Scotland team. Indeed, it does maybe right. It may be an opportunity to see the likes of Ryan Jack playing a couple of games back to back for Scotland, or Declan Gallagher, or Greg Taylor, or someone like that. But I would just love to think that all these guys, whether they've got wee knocks or niggles or whatever, all turn up in March.
It might be. It might be a chance to see these guys, but it also might be a problem, because we arrive in the playoffs then underprepared. Because take Kieran Tierney, for instance, and again, this is not a slight on him, this seems to be more about the way Arsenal are handling the situation, Gordon. If he is fit and available and arrives for the playoffs, he will do so having never worked with Stevie Clarke before.
Yeah, the only thing I'll say about that is the fact that Kieran Tierney turns up, he doesn't need coached. He knows how to play. He knows how to play a position.
But Stephen Clarke might not know where to play him.
No, that, well, he'll have a fair idea that he knows his team, he knows the formation he's going to play, and he knows Tierney can play that position. So he doesn't need to coach him. Yes, it does help, Gordon, that there's an opportunity for these players to turn up, get to know the Scotland manager, the way he thinks, his formation, his tactics, everything that he wants to put forward leading into these important games next year. But I can totally understand, and I'm saying that these players are injured, I'm not saying for 1 minute they're not, but there may be just a slight strain that, and a push, if it was a cup final, you would play with it. But because of the importance where these people are, I totally understand that, Gordon. But Roger's right. Come, if we qualify, come next year, the time when it happens, all of a sudden, they'll all be chapping at the door saying, doesn't matter my slight strain, I'm travelling.
Have you noticed anything? Gordon seems to be a lot more irritated about this than I am. I think the SFA have got to him today. This latest raft of call-offs just pushed him over the edge.
Have you not noticed that in 2 years, 2.5 years in the show, whatever you two say, I have to say the opposite? So that's how the conversation works. Usually you're the one that's in your high horse about this, so there's no choice.
He's calm tonight about it, I've got to say.
Yeah, which makes me suspicious, because how he's performed such a U-turn in the last 2 weeks, I don't know.
He's somebody's obviously been in his ear already.
I'm surprised that
I've watched this guy,
I must say. Gary, there are certain things that can be done. We spoke about them earlier on. Do Scotland take a hard approach and invoke the 5-day rule, which would stop guys playing for their clubs in the coming 5 days? Roger and Gordon are not too convinced that's a road to go down.
I'm with Roger and Gordon. I think it's a bit petty to do something like that, to be quite honest with you. It's just really disappointing, because you don't see all these calls all the time, like you say with the England squad, and they have as many meaningless games as we do, but from the opposite end of the spectrum, usually because they've already qualified. But all their guys seem to turn up, big stars that are Champions League winners, but we kind of get their guys to come. That's why I'm a bit confused.
A bit confused, to say the least.
Do you think if we asked nicely, we could have Raheem Sterling for the first game?
Maybe. Has he got a Scottish granny?
Well, he's called Sterling.
Spelled different. Let's hear from Ryan Jack, shall we? After a bust up between Raheem, look at that, smooth transition. After that bust up between Raheem Sterling and Joe Gomez in the England camp, Ryan Jack's been talking about it today. He says even old firm rivalries get left at the door when the Scotland squad comes together. He says he's passionate about playing for his country. He's hoping to get more caps in the coming week.
There's great quality all throughout the squad. It's tough to obviously, but you want to play for your country, and I've said before that you just want to come away, you want to work hard, you want to show the manager that you want to be here and you want to play a part going forward. Obviously, I've not had too many caps. It's one thing I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about being involved for my country, playing for my country, and going forward, hopefully we can achieve something.
Man, you've probably seen the news today about Raheem Sterling having a bit of a fallout with Joe Gomez and sort of fallout of that Liverpool Man City game. You've been the sort of lone Rangers player on this squad. How do you go about sort of dealing with your Celtic rivals, are also your teammates in this respect?
I don't think it's obviously a hard question. There's nothing really. You play against players nearly every week that maybe you join up with for international duty, but we turn up here, we're a team, we're together, and we all want the same goal, and that's to obviously win these two games and hopefully get Scotland to a major tournament.
Is that old common rivalry sort of left at the door when you meet one of these?
Yeah, it has to be. There's no doubt that we'll all fight and battle on the pitch, and we all want to win every game, but when we turn up, we're teammates and we train hard together and we play for each other.
It didn't look like there was any love lost between Ryan Jack and Stephen Naismith last week, so the players might not be turning up, but the ones who are there, it's good to hear they all get on like a house on fire.
Keep your eye in the canteen. That's where you've
got that with the trouble. Oh, that's where the trouble kicks off.
Yeah, sausages roll back of the head and in you go.
Why a sausage roll? Why is that your choice?
Because I'm actually hungry. It's the only thing I could think of.
I hope they're not eating sausage rolls.
No, that was Daz's mantra through a 20-year career. Keep an eye in the canteen.
Yeah. On a serious note, Roger, we actually still have lots of midfield options, even though Scott McTominay's gone. Because you now find yourself barely mentioning guys like Stuart Armstrong and John Fleck, who started one of the previous games, is still there. Kenny McLean is still there. With that defensive role, or more defensive role, though, you know, vacated by Scott McTominay, is this a chance to see Ryan Jack in there?
I think it is a chance to see Ryan Jack in there. It could also be a chance to see a bit more of John Fleck in there. I'm a huge admirer, and I know Daz is as well, of Callum McGregor, Ryan Christie and James Forrest. But if you're talking that, you know, Steve Clarke could take Kieran Tierney in March without ever seeing him, I think maybe these two games could be the opportunity for Steve Clarke to have a proper look at some of the fringe players. Maybe Ryan Jack, you know, maybe see Devlin and McKenna, the two Aberdeen players, together for the first time in a Scotland jersey. Get game time for Greg Taylor at left back. Maybe a bit more time further on. He hasn't seen Stephen Naismith. I mean, we've seen Stephen Naismith in a Scotland jersey for 10 years, but Steve Clarke hasn't worked with him to any great extent. Yeah. Maybe see more of him. Maybe see more of, you know, Lauren Shankland, who he scored. People say, oh, it was against San Marino, but he scored. And he looked okay for a championship player. He looked okay in the Dundee derby last weekend as well. Took his goal very well. So maybe we'll see a bit more of Lauren Shankland in these two games as well.
I mean, Gordon, I don't think you'll find any Rangers fan, and we know we're very divisive when we talk about our football in this city, but I don't think you'd find any Rangers fan who's not been particularly impressed with Ryan Jack this season.
Yeah, I think everybody that's watched him this season, Gordon, whether a Rangers fan or not, when Rangers are playing against you, I think the opposition fans think that Ryan Jack's been playing very well, let me say. I think this is probably the best I've watched him, and I think this boy deserves an opportunity. I know that he's got so much competition in front of him and good quality in front of him, but we know what McGregor can do. McGregor's top class player, quality player. We know what he can do in a Scotland trip. Ryan Christie's another one. McTominay's out. Now, for me, McTominay would play all the time because I think he's a real talent. But this is an opportunity to say to Ryan Jack, do you know what? You have worked your socks off from the start of the season. Your performances have been terrific. There's your opportunity. You deserve it. And I hope that he gets a chance.
There's one for you then on the phones and on Twitter. Is this an ideal chance to see more of Ryan Jack in a Scotland shirt? 01419511025. Twitter is at Clyde SSB. We're going to speak to Mark in Whitby next, but just something I wanted to mark your card with, something I wanted to tell you about. As you well know, we've been following Rangers and Celtic around on Europa League duty. This is thanks to our partners at Ladbrokes as well. Home and away throughout the campaign. To celebrate that coverage, we're giving you the chance to win a stunning home entertainment system. Gordon Dale, you're not eligible to enter, I'm afraid, but if you fancy that, you want to be in with a chance, go to Clyde1.com.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon Dalziel is here. Roger Hanna is alongside him. They're reacting to the call-offs amongst the Scotland squad today. A few replacements have been called in, though. Graham Shinney, Lewis Morgan, and most recently Ryan Porteous, the Hibs defender. Roger, I don't think anyone's pretending that Ryan Porteous is at a level where he can be the saviour of the national side, but is it at least encouraging to see someone from our Premiership, someone who's been in the system, so to speak, worked his way up from 19s and playing 21s and now using the opportunity to get that call up?
Well, I saw him on Saturday playing for Hibs against St Johnstone for Super Scoreboard. It wasn't his most pressing 90 minutes as Hibs charged forward against St Johnstone, but he is a talented young guy, and at a time when the likes of Charlie Mulgrew is probably coming to the end of his Scotland career, There are going to have to be young guys coming in at the other end of the squad to take those places. It's strange, we tend to have a lot of left-sided centre-backs. Charlie McGrubin one, Scott McKenna, Liam Cooper, guys like that. The right-sided guys haven't been so plentiful. That's why Michael Devlin won a couple of caps the last break. Declan Gallagher's in the squad. And now Ryan Porteous in there as well. He can play either side. He is a versatile lad. He's an aggressive centre-half. And I think Steve Clarke will be looking forward to working with him and getting, you know, a real insight into how good he can be.
One Eye Jim isn't happy on Twitter. He says, Ryan Jack should be a starter even if we had the full squad. Going on form in past months, not a better midfielder about, says One Eye Jim. Please stop this. Is this a chance for Jack? Rubbish. Well, I mean, it is still a chance for Ryan Jack, regardless of whether he's good or not.
To be fair, he's not the best midfielder we've got if everybody's fit. So, as I said earlier, Gordon, I'm delighted for a guy. I think he deserves an opportunity, and it is an opportunity because he's got a lot of talented midfield players in there for competition. I think he deserves it with his performances. He's been absolutely terrific for Rangers, but he is not our best centre midfield
player. It was an interesting take by Michael Stewart in his column in The Sun at the weekend, saying Ryan Jack could start at right back for Scotland. He did it once before with Malky McKay,
temporary
charge for the Holland game up at Pittodrie. I don't know whether that, I can't quite get my head around how that would work. You know, he showed,
I think,
good
I've
form,
done fair in the boy.
Yeah,
why work so hard to get into the Scotland squad, and the performances you're producing with Rangers in the middle of the park, then you get your big chance to say, yeah, I'm good enough to go here and cement a place, and you get put it right back.
I think the impressive thing about Ryan Jack recently, Roger, because this is where it will always be this way at Scotland. People can pretend that they've got it all sussed, but they don't. It's impossible to compare a player who's playing in one league to one who's playing in another. Well, it's not impossible, but it's very difficult. They're playing completely different opposition with different styles. But Ryan Jack this season has now taken that form into the Europa League and playing against teams like Porto and looking every bit as comfortable and as dominant in there as he does in the Premiership.
Yeah, and he's had countless votes of confidence from Steven Gerrard, who has been highly delighted by Ryan Jack's form in the last 18 months, so much so he's given him a new extended contract at Rangers. I don't listen, we are blessed with a lot of decent central midfielders in there. I just think for this couple of games, I don't think it would do any harm to have a proper
look
at Ryan Jack in these games.
Absolutely. Let's get the thoughts of Mark in Whitby. Hi, Mark.
Hello, good evening, gentlemen.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Hi. Right, my point is, well, what sort of concerns me, as a passionate Scot, I've lived most of my life in England, but you wait, you hope for this Scotland team to eventually get to a major finals, and there's been disappointment after disappointment, some decent teams down the years, but you know that if they actually did qualify for the finals, they'd have to be good to come through a qualifying process. However, with this new backdoor route to the finals through the playoffs in March, this very average Scotland team could somehow end up playing in the finals, and I don't even think they'll be prepared or equipped to do that and do themselves justice. That's what concerns me.
Well, let's worry about that when we get there, Mark. I think qualifying is one thing. It would be a good thing for Scotland. We haven't been there for 22 years. So let's get there first, and then we can worry about how we would perform at the finals. We might just surprise some people. Northern Ireland played well at the last Euros, as did the Republic of Ireland. Don't think they've got noticeably better squads.
Wales
than Scotland
did the same,
gone,
didn't they? They all did
well. Well, listen, Wales got to a semi-final, which was above and beyond any expectations, Gordon. So let's get there. Let's see which of the players makes himself available to Steve Clarke for the squad. Let's see what it draws like. Remember, if we get there, one of the games will be at Hampden. Gives us a chance, you know, a better chance we'd have if it was based in a foreign land. So let's get there first, then we'll worry, Mark.
You understand Mark's concerns, Gordon. I mean, I suppose, I know there is that new route now with the Nations League, but even under the old system, yes, it was harder, but weaker teams have made it to major tournaments. It happens, and if you've not been there in a while, you're just delighted to be part of it.
Yeah, and you could peak at that time, Gordon, as you say, weaker teams have shown in the past. But the most important thing is, let's try and get there first, and then we'll worry about our performances, we'll worry about our form, we'll worry about who's turning up and who's calling off. But the most important thing is, let's get there.
You want to come back in, Mark?
Yeah, that's fine. I think the point that a game will actually be at Hampden in the finals, that's a good point. But it does concern me because any team who's qualified for any finals, no matter how weak you think they are, have had to come through a very hard qualifying process. Whereas this new system going in through the Europa playoffs, playing against teams of similar ilk to Scotland, you know, I mean, who is it they might be playing in the semi-final?
Well, still a few possibilities,
yeah,
Roger.
Yeah, you're going to look at someone like Bulgaria, Romania, Hungary, Finland, someone like that in a semi-final, which would be a one-off game at Hampden. And then in all likelihood, it would be a final against either Norway or Serbia with a draw to take place to see whether it's at Hampden or whether away.
And it just shows you how you can get carried away because it's a great chance. We're in touching distance, but I don't really fancy taking on Norway right now, would you?
Yeah, no, well, Norway and Oslo would be a difficult task the way they're playing just now. Josh King up front, my dear friend Christopher Ajer at the back, Haaland there as well.
He's not the top scorer in the Champions League.
Yeah, Stefan Johansson leading the team in the middle of the park. So there's quality there.
Anyway, that comes under worry about that when we get to it as well.
That's one for March.
Mark, on you go, sorry.
Yeah, oh, that's great. Yeah, and to change the subject a little bit, there's been a rumour here on the media today that John Kennedy might be in the running for the Hibs job. And if he does go and leave Celtic, I would really love to see James McFadden as an assistant at Celtic. I think he's got all the qualifications and he speaks brilliantly on the radio. On another channel, obviously, but...
Oh, I don't know such a thing existed, Mark. I must admit, we are going to look at the John Kennedy situation in quite a bit of detail after 7 o'clock. So Mark's just kicked us off nicely, just introduced it. We'll leave it hanging there and we'll get your thoughts on it after Beat the Pundit. At 7 o'clock, what have we got coming in on Twitter? Richard says he feels sorry for Steve Clark. The job is thankless, you just can't win. Is there a bit of that at the moment? I don't expect, because you know how football works in this country, I don't think everyone will be sympathetic to Stevie Clark. Well, but it's a hard job,
yeah,
to begin with.
I don't think Steve Clark would want your sympathy for a start. Steve Clark's quite happy. He went into the job with his eyes opened. He knew exactly what he was walking into.
Do you think he knew the level of call-offs would be so high?
Possibly not. But he also, I'm sure he wouldn't know the level of long-term injury. You know, John Souter, long-term injury. Stuart Finlay, who's come in, long-term injury. Liam Cooper's now out. McTominay's now out. The likes of the Kieran Tierney issue. You would never have believed when Steve Clark took the job in the springtime, we would get to the middle of November and they still wouldn't have seen Kieran Tierney in a Scotland jersey. So that will frustrate him, I would think. But as Alec Dyer said in the audio earlier in the show, Gordon, their job now is simply to focus on the guys who are there rather than worry about the people who are not there.
Craig D's got a question for you, Gordon. He says, can you please ask who Scotland's best centre midfielder is? You almost scoffed at the thought of Ryan Jack being that good. You're a big Ryan Jack fan.
Yes, and I didn't scoff at it, Gordon.
I take it you just think John McGinn or someone is better at the moment.
Yeah, I think at this moment, I think McGinn. I'm a big fan of McTominay. I really am. McGregor's a fantastic talent. All I'm saying is I am so pleased for the lad because I think he deserves his opportunity. And if he goes in there and he's prepared to battle, and he can go then and show everybody, no, I'm the number one midfield player. But all I'm saying is, I don't think he is our...
You were just reacting to the tweet who said he was the single best at the moment.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
We don't. It's a nice problem to have in that area.
If only
we had. If only we had similar problems elsewhere, Roger. Do you think guys like Shankland has done enough to stay in there, or... is the recall of Stephen Naismith or something like that likely to shake it up?
Like anything else, it depends who you're contesting the position with. Greg Taylor, in all likelihood, will play at left back in Cyprus. Greg Taylor probably hasn't done enough to deserve his chance. He's only played one game for Celtic, I think.
He's the only left back in the squad.
Yeah, circumstances dictate that he's going to play. So Shankland took his chance against San Marino. A lot of strikers haven't taken chances in the past. And it'll be interesting to see if he gets any more match time, either against Cyprus or back on Tuesday night against Kazakhstan at Hampden.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Big thanks to Mark in Whitby. He set it up nicely. After the news, we're going to look at the situation involving John Kennedy. Stories today suggesting he could be in the frame to be the new Hibs manager. So any Hibs fans, give us your thoughts on that. And Celtic fans, Would you wish him well and send him on his way to start a managerial career, or are you desperate to keep him on the coaching staff at the moment? We'll play Beat the Pundit first though. Your chance to win a signed ball if you get more questions right than Roger or Gordon. The number you need is 0141 951 1025 and the lines close at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon DL and Roger Hanna here with me, Gordon Duncan, and tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We've been reacting to the news that even more players have withdrawn from the Scotland squad, and some big names at that. Andy Robertson, Scott McTominay, Ryan Fraser out, the likes of Ryan Porteous, Lewis Morgan, and Graham Shinney. I knew there was one I was missing, has been called into the squad. Another big story doing the rounds today is this link between John Kennedy and the Hibs job. Celtic fans, what do you make of that? Is he one you would be particularly keen to hang on to, or do you understand that these guys eventually want to move into management and you would wish him well? Give us your thoughts on that. 01419511025, and we'll do this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is Beat the Pundit time. Gordon DL is here defending a pretty good record this season. Roger Hanna always starts on -1. I don't know what it is. Every time I toss the coin on a Tuesday, it lands on tails and Gordon DL plays. Let's see how we get on tonight. One of them's up against James from East Kilbride. How are you tonight, James?
How you doing, guys? Not bad.
Good stuff, James. Now, I don't know what it is, James. I've got this coin in front of me. It is a legitimate coin. It has two sides, but every time on a Tuesday, when we give it a go, it always lands tails. It's always Gordon DL. So let's see what we've got this time. I'm going to start filming it for proof. It's tails. Genuine, Roger. Would you care to adjudicate?
Yes, it's tails.
I don't know what to say.
Do you know how I knew it was going to be tails? We were having a little kid on, and it went
during the break.
5-4.
Yep.
I was Roger. Just doing it during the break to prove that it has a heads.
It was 5-4 heads.
Anyway, forget it. Nice. You're okay. Playing tonight. I'm going to give you some. Going to give you some Clyde 2 to listen to. He's got it. He's giving me the thumbs up. Right, James. Here are the rules. Pretty simple. You've got 30 seconds. You're going head to head with Gordon. You can pass. So that's the key. If you don't know it, pass it. Move on to the next one. Okay.
Yep.
Good man. Your time starts now. Where did Aberdeen get Lewis Ferguson from?
Pass.
What age is Johnny Hayes?
He's 31.
At which club did Greg Docherty spend time on loan last season?
Shrewsbury.
Name any team from Scotland's group the last time they made a Euros.
France.
Say that again.
France.
Which Celtic player has been asked to join up with the Scotland squad to date?
Pass.
Who was the last Scottish manager of Birmingham?
Alex McLeish.
Okay. Let's bring Gordon back. Gordon, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can.
Great. Same set of questions to you. You ready?
Yeah.
Right, let's get stuck in. Where did Aberdeen get Lewis Ferguson from?
Hamilton.
What age is Johnny Hayes?
31.
At which club did Greg Docherty spend time on loan last season?
Shrewsbury.
Name any team from Scotland's group the last time they made a
Pass.
Euros. Which Celtic player has been asked to join up with the Scotland
Lewis
squad
Morgan.
Today? Who was the last Scottish manager of Birmingham?
Alan McLeish.
Name either of the sides in action tonight in Scotland's League 2.
Annan.
Where did Davy Weir begin his playing career?
Falkirk.
James, what do you think? Do you think he's done you?
I think he's done me. I panicked under the pressure.
It's the worst. It can all can happen to anyone. Let's go through and find out. The first one, where did Aberdeen get Lewis Ferguson from? It was Hamilton. I think sometimes, James, when you don't get the first one, that's when it starts getting to you, isn't it? It throws you a little bit. Gordon got it, 1-0 to him. What age is Johnny Hayes? You've both taken a year off. He's 32. Well, according to producer Andy, he's 32.
I was only guessing
1-0 still to Gordon. At which club did Greg Docherty spend time on loan? It was Shrewsbury. You both get that, well done. So it's 2-1 to Gordon. Name any team from Scotland's group the last time they made the Euros. You just panicked. You just switched off.
I'm no good at international football.
But think about it, the last time they made the Euros.
I'm still no good.
Roger, tell him.
You're on 86.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Switzerland.
Or England.
Was that the Switzerland game? Ali McCoy scored. Yeah, Switzerland.
Still 2-1 to Gordon. Which Celtic players joined up with the Scotland squad? It's Lewis Morgan. 3-1 to Gordon. You got the next one, James. Alex McLeish, the last Scottish manager of Birmingham. Name either of the sides in action.
Show the Gordon.
Yeah, but I'm not interested in that one.
All right, okay.
Name either of the sides in action in tonight's Scottish League 2. Annan was your answer, which is correct, but who are Annan playing?
Brechin.
So your old pal Mark Wilson is the manager of Brechin, and when I asked you to name one of the teams involved, you went for the other one.
Yeah, I went for a home side.
Okay, Annan against Brechin. You got that one right, so you've stretched your lead. I think that's 5-2 to you, and you rubbed salt in the wounds with the sixth. Where did Davy Weir begin his playing career? Falkirk. A six for Gordon Dale. He is on fire, I hate to admit
it. That's fair play.
Well done, James. Magnanimous in defeat. Well done. Thank you, James. In East Kilbride. He is doing alright, Roger, I must say.
Yeah, and fortunately enough, he seldom mentions his record.
I know.
No. And I'll tell you what, James is away thinking, I wish that coin had fallen in tails.
It did.
A man o' heads?
No.
Alright, okay. Okay. Rewind that. Get the 8 second delay on there, and we'll take that one back.
Thank you very much. That was James and East Kilbride. Your chance to beat the pundit is back tomorrow night, just before, well, it's at 7 o'clock, just after 7 o'clock. 0141 951 1025. Now is the perfect time to get in touch if you want to talk about John Kennedy, because stories today doing the rounds that he is very much in the frame to become the new manager of Hibs. So we're looking for your reaction to that. Hibs fans, is that one that floats your boat? And Celtic fans, does that, what are you, would you be disappointed to see John Kennedy lose, leave the coaching staff? Or is it all about understanding these guys eventually go and become managers? Tell us what you think of that. 01419511025. Roger, where do you rank the likelihood of this happening at the moment?
Well, I think there's a chance it's going to happen. John Kennedy's in a very fortunate position in his coaching career at the minute. He's extremely highly rated. Neil Lennon said that after a win against Motherwell on Sunday afternoon, described them as an integral part of the Celtic backroom team. He was very highly rated by Brendan Rodgers before Neil came back to the club, and crucially, he's very highly rated by Peter Lawwell at the club. Celtic would like to keep John Kennedy. Now, John Kennedy will only move on John Kennedy's terms, I would think. John Kennedy's ideal job, his ultimate job in his career, probably being manager of Celtic. So how are you best to become manager of Celtic as and when Neil Lennon leaves the club? Are you better staying on as Neil's number two and making the jump then? Or are you better going to another club, be it a Hibs, be it a Hearts, be it a club down south, striding out as your own man, doing a good job and then returning to the club? These are the kind of things that John Kennedy's going to have to think about in the coming days.
Zero.
Why?
I don't think there's any hope that John Kennedy will go to Hibs.
Well, you don't think they'll want him, or you don't think he would take it?
I think they would want him, and I can understand why they would want him as a manager. Working under someone like Brendan Rodgers, and obviously the education, working at Celtic, being in Europe, going up against top teams, the success he's had as a coach as well. Yeah, ticks all the boxes for me. John Kennedy just now would need to be off his rocker to go to Hibs as a manager.
Why? What makes you say that? Surely the whole point for these guys is they eventually learn their trade and then they go and do it on their own.
Not a club that's sitting where it is just now with the squad of players it is. A job that you could walk in. Look at the last Hibs manager that come up and lasted what? Many months, Roger?
243 days.
243 days.
Yeah, but he would back himself to be better than that, surely. That's the whole point.
Gordon, it's about the club. When you're going to make a step out of Celtic Football Club and the position John Kennedy's in, you just don't go for I fancy being a manager. They're Hibs sitting down near the bottom of the league. They've got a terrible squad. The last manager lasted 204. I fancy that challenge. I don't see that happening.
Fair enough, but they are also a massive club. I mean, for your first managerial job, not many people get to get in at a level above Hibs. I know what you're saying. Yeah, they're not doing particularly well at the moment, but it's a massive club. It's one of our biggest clubs, and it would be a first managerial job.
Right.
Well, you're acting as if it's a League One side, a League Two side, and saying he doesn't need to take that.
We've got two ways of looking at this here. One, we don't know if John Kennedy wants to be a number one. He might be happy at Celtic. He might look at years later about promotion, wherever he may go up the top stair, director of football, wherever it may go. He's at a club that he's been at for a long, long time. He's very well thought of. We don't know if he wants to be that guy that wants to be the manager. It could go absolutely brilliant for him, or it could go wrong for him. I think if I'm John Kennedy right now, I'm sitting at Celtic Football Club.
Okay, Celtic fans, what do you think? Are you worried that you could lose John Kennedy, or would you wish him well, send him on his way, and maybe see him again somewhere down the line? 01419511025. Marco is a Celtic fan on the line. What's your take on it, Marco? Would losing John Kennedy be a significant blow to Celtic?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's instrumental in the team that's there just now. And obviously a die-hard Celtic man. Growing up through the academy and the player he was, unfortunately he lost his career before through injury too soon. And I think he would definitely be a big miss, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Roger, people who are not on the training ground every day or are not behind closed doors won't get to see the exact level of input or responsibility that John Kennedy has. But one thing is for sure, you only have to speak to anyone around the club to know how highly thought of he is. So that sort of tells its own story.
Yeah, supremely highly thought of. It's going to be an interesting one, as Dad says, for John. If you're asking me what do I think he'll do, I think the difficult time, as Marco will tell you, it's an important time for Celtic. Celtic are chasing 9 in a row, possibly 10 in a row. Celtic are heading into the last 32 of Europa League, where Rangers could join them. It's a big time to be involved at Celtic. Now, John Kennedy could sit tight for a go at 9 in a row and a go at 10 in a row, in the knowledge that in 2 or 3 years down the line, the Hibs job will come up again, the Hearts job will come up again, you know, possibly the likes of an Aberdeen job, or jobs down south will come up again. This isn't going to be John Kennedy's only tilt at management on his own. And that's the one thing that would maybe make me think he might not jump at this time. But I think he does want to be a manager on his own. And I think he just strikes you as one of these guys who will make a success of it.
Roger, do you not think that, you know, the education he'll get looking at, say, Brendan Rodgers? Now, I've got to say, I said in this programme, I never thought for a minute Brendan Rodgers would go to Leicester. But Brendan Rodgers knew the timing was right, and so far it's been a magnificent move for him, you've got to say. John Kennedy's been in this game a long time. He's very good at what he does. It's all about timing. And I don't see anything that ticks all the boxes that the timing's right for John Kennedy. That's my point here.
Okay, Marco, what do you think?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with Gordon there, you know. I think that I would love to see John Kennedy stay there to keep us trying for the, obviously, 9 in a row and then sort of 10 in a row and stuff, you know. But if I could just make a point about some of the talk recently about Rangers. I think there's a couple of Rangers fans, Celtic fans, calling on to see whether Rangers are better or not, you know, than the last season. It's absolutely certain that Rangers are a better team this season than they were last year. And obviously, they've proved that by being better against the other teams than they were last year, and also last season by beating us twice. However, my point is this, is that if they want to prove that they're better when it really counts, and that they're ready to usurp us as the number one team in Scotland, they need to beat us in the semi-final at Hampden and prove that they have the ability to win silverware, not just football matches. And that would be my point there. And I've also got something that Hugh Keevans actually said about Celtic and Rangers' success in Europe recently. You know, who cares about that other than Rangers and Celtic, or the fact that the other teams are just getting a few quid extra because of their success? So I'll tell you what the difference it makes. It raises the profile of Scottish football in Europe, and most importantly down south, because the guys down south always consider the SPL as a joke. And I would put it to them that any team that can beat Lazio home and away, or Rangers Porto, would do very well in the EPL. And I think that there is the reason why we can celebrate Scottish football this weekend, because it basically goes ha-ha to the English.
I mean, if that's what keeps you going, Roger, fair enough. I know a lot of people don't really care what other people think. I'm not sure that's the main takeaway from a success like last week is the impact that it has on our perception amongst English fans. I personally couldn't care less. I don't know what you think or what Gordon and yourself think of the general point.
Well, listen, I think the success that Celtic have had in qualifying already is mainly felt by Celtic supporters. If Rangers can get the win in Feyenoord in a couple of weeks' time, or match the Porto result when they play Young Boys, and Rangers can join Celtic in the last 32, that'll be felt most by Rangers supporters. I don't think they'll be standing up in the pubs of Brighton, Bournemouth and Southampton saying, look, Rangers and Celtic are in the last 32 of the Europa League. But the fact that the two clubs could be together in the last 32 indicates that the two clubs are, they've got decent size, they've assembled decent teams, teams that can compete in that Europa League. And you never know. I mean, we talk about the last 32 as if it's some sort of holy grail. Who's to say the two of them couldn't get even further in the competition?
Yeah, that'd be interesting, Roger. I think you're right about the fact that English clubs will not be bothered about what Rangers and Celtic are doing. But I think that to get to the last 32, and hopefully Rangers will achieve that, and I think they will, then I think it's a good achievement, and then to see where it goes from there. But for me this season, that is a great bonus for us. Coefficient, everything about it, putting Scotland back up there. But the biggest thing for me is obviously domestic football this season.
Marco, on you go.
Yeah, thanks. Guys, it wasn't so much about what the English clubs think, you know. It's the perception of... Now, you ask... It's mentioned all the time, the perception of Scottish football down south isn't very good, and our league always gets a very bad rep. So my point really was there, is that the results that Rangers and Celtic have had in Europe has boosted that, you know, and it actually gives tangible proof, I think, that any team that can beat Lazio home and away...
Can we'd hack it in the English Premier League, is that what you're saying, Marco?
Yeah, exactly, because if you consider, where would Lazio be if they were playing in the EPL? Definitely top six, I think, you know, at least that.
This argument comes up every couple of years. It's a very hard one to answer because, yeah, the results against Lazio and Porto are very good, and in fact better than good, but when you get down into the English Premier League and you're looking at the top teams and you're playing... Every single week you're playing against high quality every week. You need a real strong squad.
It's a funny league, Daz, because the team who are in the Champions League final in May are currently 14th in the English Premier League. So
Yeah. I'm not saying the couldn't happen, Roger. I'm not saying that. But you've just got, don't get carried away with the fact of a few games.
Thank you to Marco in Wrexham, from Glasgow, in Wrexham at the moment. Thank you to Marco on the line. On Twitter, lots of reaction coming in to that question about, you know, John Kennedy. Would that be a possibility for him becoming the Hibs manager? Jerry Quiff Photos says, John Kennedy will ask Neil Lennon about Hibs, and Lenny will explain why he left and why it's a poison chalice. You need to disrupt Celtic players and Celtic staff. Oh right, he says your need to disrupt Celtic players and Celtic staff really is a desperate ploy. I'm not really sure. It's not my fault John Kennedy's on the sort of short list to become the Hibs manager.
Yeah, there is a little bit of history there between Celtic and Hibernian and his clubs. You think of John McGinn, you think of various other to-ings and fro-ings between the clubs over the years. I don't think there's a great deal of love lost between the two clubs. And the first thing that would have to happen for John Kennedy to move is for Celtic to give permission to Hibernian to speak to John Kennedy. And the next thing that would have to happen for a deal to take place is for Hibernian to buy him out his contract.
Yeah, very true. On that, Ken Barber says John Kennedy will want to be at Celtic until 10 in a row is no longer a possibility. And Sean says the majority of Celtic fans want him to stay. He's been groomed as a future Celtic manager, if rumours are to be believed. But if he does choose to go, he'd go with our best wishes. It isn't one or the other, as you suggest, which is fair enough. Is that the perception that John Kennedy is a future Celtic manager, Roger? Yeah. Is that the idea?
Yeah, but listen, I would think so. You know, he's come through the ranks. He's now number two behind Neil Lennon. Extremely highly thought of in the corridors of power at Celtic Park. It would not at all surprise me. Nobody's chasing Neil out the door, far from it, the job he's doing just now. But if in however many seasons down the line Neil decides to take his leave again, wouldn't surprise me at all if John Kennedy became a future Celtic manager.
0141 951 1025. That's the number you need to get in touch tonight. If you want to tweet, you can do that as well at Clyde SSB. Great full-time teaser for you coming up. No. You know they're always difficult on a Tuesday. We see who's got the knowledge. We're looking for 11 players on the full-time teaser.
John Smith.
I'll read the question to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to thompsons.com.
Gordon DL and Roger Hanna here with me, Gordon Duncan. It is that time of the night when the guys try and tackle the full-time teaser. That's when you send your questions in and we give the pundits about the last 30 minutes or so to see if they can come up with the answers. If that sounds up your street and you want to make up a question and hear it on the show, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. John has a real knack of sending in difficult ones. We always tend to use them on a Tuesday because Roger Hannah is trying to put it politely.
Politely after my performances lately, I'm becoming a big threat to beat the pundit.
Yeah, yeah. I was just going to suggest that maybe Roger needs to get out more, given his level of knowledge on the teasers. But I'll let you decide. See how we get on with this one. Can you name 11 non-Scots who have played in this season's English Premier League and have previously played in Scotland for a non-Old Firm team? So can you name 11 non-Scots?
Ken McLean. Oh, he's a Scot.
On every week, without fail, you don't listen. You never let me finish the question. Well, I did finish the question. I was going to read it a second time and a third time because you usually need it, but you do not listen. Will I go again?
Pookie. Go again.
Who?
Pookie.
Can you say that into your mic, please?
Am I right? Pookie.
What was the last bit of the question?
I don't know. I'm just firing out names that played in Scotland.
For a non-Old Firm team.
Oh, is that the last part? Sorry. Right.
One more time. Name the 11 non-Scots who have played in this season's English Premier League and have previously played in Scotland for a non-Old Firm team.
Right,
so not Timo Pukki, not Kenny McLean. Roger, bring some sense to this.
Right, Roger.
I'm writing down the names of the teams. Non-Scots playing there. Sean Longstaff.
Show me you're working.
Well, he's played. He's not Scottish.
Mm-hmm.
He's played for Newcastle in the Prem this season.
Mm-hmm.
And
he
played for Kilmarnock.
Brilliant. There we go. Easy as that when you listen to the question.
That's fantastic.
Sean Longstaff.
Brilliant, Roger. I'm still going down the other route.
That's one down, 10 to go. Any advance?
We'll get our working going in a second. We'll be fine.
You definitely got the question now though, Gordon.
Gordon, I'm in.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm locked in.
Do you want to repeat it back to me?
No, I'm locked in.
Right, okay.
I don't know the answers, but I've got the question.
If you want to play along on Twitter, you can do. 11 non-Scots who have played in this season's English Premier League. They've previously played in Scotland for a non-Old Firm team. Sometimes it's easier when you've got an example. So Sean Longstaff, the guys have got that so far. Plays for Newcastle, not Scottish, used to play for Kelly.
What about Matt Docherty at Wolves? Used to play with Hibs.
Brilliant, well done. Matt Docherty at Wolves, used to play for Hibs, is not Scottish. You getting it now, Gordon?
Yeah.
Starting to get a feel for it.
Yeah, I've got a feel for it. I've not got any answers for it.
One more from you, Roger.
Goalkeeper Roger Kilmarnock.
Goalkeeper at Kilmarnock.
Daniel Backman.
Do you play with Norwich? Who's the one who played Norwich?
Oh, it's Michael McGovern.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's nothing to do with Kilmarnock. What are you on about?
Yeah, but I was Norwich. Yeah.
Okay. Michael McGovern, Sean Longstaff, Matt Docherty are your three. You've got 11 in total. Let's take another call from John, who is in the East End. Hi, John.
Hi, Gordon and Roger.
Hello. Hi, John.
I know you guys have moved on through the Scotland thing. We're talking about a lot of other things as well, but getting back to that for a second. See what the assistant manager said about, like, to the players who are, and I'll put this in quote brackets, genuinely injured. McTominay, Fraser and Robertson.
Mm-hmm.
See the guys who are maybe injured, maybe no injured. See if they call out the Scotland squad. Why do they constantly bring them back? They obviously don't want to be there. Now, I know the days have moved on from guys who would walk to Hampden just to pull on that blue jersey, but it's still your country. I mean, there's a guy, it doesn't matter whether you play for Celtic or Partick Thistle or Montrose even. There's guys out there who would walk to Hampden to pull on that blue jersey. So there must be guys out there that they can call upon. And stop getting back to these guys, but they call them up and then they pull out the squad.
But what do you do, John? I mean, you said it yourselves. If Scott McTominay, Andy Robertson, Ryan Fraser are genuinely injured, what do you do with them? And if you're not talking about them, who are the guys? Who are the ones that are pulling out? Who are the serial offenders that you wouldn't have back in?
I can't even hear them off the top of my head right now because I'm driving. But I'm just thinking about ones in general because it seems to be like one of the guys said right to the wing was the first or the second caller. you never hear guys pulling out of the England team or the Wales team or the Ireland team. It's always just the Scotland team that are pulling out. Now, I know Scotland are no up there with England and they're no qualifying for every tournament and stuff like that. But that's besides the point. These guys who are pulling out, again, I can't name names because I can't think of any, but ones that do pull out, these guys won't know themselves that they're pulling out because they're no injured.
Roger, I wonder if on... Nile One Super Scoreboard in Egypt tonight, they're having similar calls because Mo Salah has pulled out of the Egypt squad. So I mean, I don't know either. I don't keep a list of every other country and who pulls out and who doesn't. I get certainly the logic of what John's saying. If there are players who you feel are at it and are pulling out regularly when they're not injured, of course you would like to think that Stevie Clark wouldn't choose them again. But who are they? Who would they be?
Yeah, he needs to be a very patient man, Steve Clark, because he'll be frustrated. John sounds frustrated. I'm frustrated. You're frustrated. No one will be more frustrated and annoyed by the constant stream of withdrawals than Steve Clark is. But what's the point? I'm getting exasperated by it. He just needs to suck it up, draft another players as he's done throughout the course of the day, and go with those players. He can only go with the players at his disposal. Yes, he'll be annoyed. He'll be annoyed at Arsenal for not letting Kieran Tierney turn up. He'll be annoyed that his ill fortune saw Liam Cooper and Scott McTominay hobble out of their games at the weekend. He'll be annoyed that the likes of John Souter's been out for longer than was expected. Stuart Finlay's going to be out for a period of time as well. But there's nothing he can do about it. He literally just needs to...
The only thing I would say to John, and I can understand that as a supporter, you say, well, if these guys aren't turning up, forget about them then, bring in younger players and whatever. You've got to put yourself in the shoes of the Scotland manager, because it's his job, it's on the line. And the reason and the answer is simple. We've got to bring our best players in and play our best players to give us any opportunity of winning games and try to qualify. And so has the manager, Gordon. It'd be nice for, you know, to find a manager where he says, do you know what, forget that. It's like going back to the old days of club management. Oh, forget that, play the young boys. See, after two or three defeats, people aren't thinking about playing the young boys. They're thinking about getting rid of the manager. I.e., that's why the minute they're available, they come back in, because they're the best that we've got.
John, you might think that some players are at it and are not genuinely injured. And by the way, you won't be alone. I can tell that lots of people think that looking at Twitter, but can we assume that Stevie Clark doesn't agree? Because if players were doing it, maybe he would cast them aside.
Yeah, I do understand that. And going back to what Gordon said there about, obviously, you're trying to find the best talent that's available. But the very fact that Steve Clark is one of the first Scotland managers for as long back as I can think of, is prepared to look at players who are playing in the Championship. We look at Lawrence Shanklin. There must be other guys out there. I'm a Celtic fan, so I don't particularly pay a lot of attention to the Championship, if I'm honest. But there must be guys, because he's obviously looking at the Championship. I know it's the same old scenario all the time, where you can only pick what's available or what's standing out like sore thumbs in the case of Lord Shankland. But I just think they get in a lot too easily. They do pull out the team, and then before you know it, when the next international call-ups come around, they're back in the team again.
Yeah, I mean, maybe with a bit more time, John would be able to think of people who that applies to. Roger, can you? Your memories tends to be better than me at these types of things. Are there serial offenders out there? I don't know. I know that over the piece, Ryan Fraser has got a lot less Scotland caps than I thought he would have. He's not injured.
No, there's no way you would say serial offenders who get called up and withdraw again. But there are guys like Stephen Fletcher, who is, quote, managing issues and is no longer really part of the discussion. Steve Clark said when he named the last squad that he doesn't even pick up the phone anymore because he's not available. He feels he's not available. Robert Snodgrass has made himself unavailable. Mark Ritchie, James McArthur have made themselves unavailable. Alan McGregor, Scott Brown, closer at home, have made themselves unavailable as they've got deeper into their 30s and want to focus on club
matters. Is that not understandable though, just simply retiring from international football?
So, you know, maybe what John's discussing is serial offenders. There's not guys who consistently are called up and in a day or two later withdraw. But there are a number of players who simply aren't available to Steve Clarke to begin with.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just think that when everybody's fit, Gordon, yes, the guys that have called off, you've got to take them at face value. They're injured, whether it's an injury. You'll get players that are got a slight strain that a push could probably play. But because of the circumstances with their club, finances and everything like that, they've got to be 100%. And that's the reason why we're getting a lot of call-offs. But the minute they're fit, they're back in, because that's the best we've got.
Paul is on Twitter, who says Jamie Vardy stopped playing for England to enhance his time at club level. It's not just a Scottish thing.
Yep, yeah, I was watching a TV show on Sunday morning debating whether or not Jamie Vardy should be approached by Gareth Southgate with a view to coming back into the England setup, such as his good form under Brendan Rodgers at Leicester at the minute. But he's chosen in his 30s again, same way Alan McGregor and Scott Brown did, Chris Commons before them, to take a step back. It allows him this week and next, rather than being away training and playing with England, it allows him to put his feet up, maybe get a bit of R&R, and then he's firing on all cylinders for Brendan Rodgers again.
Just check Rebecca's Instagram story to see if he's away joining up with the squad. That should give you a clue, surely.
I would have thought so.
Is that something we do then? Do we just say that? Do we throw that statement out there that this only happens to Scotland and it doesn't happen to other nations? Is that accurate? Because I hear it a lot.
We just feel it worse because we focus on the Scottish national team and we get annoyed and we bang the table when you know certain players don't turn up, because we all want Scotland as a national team to do well. We all want Scotland to qualify for major finals. But we know our opportunities are diminished when a lot of these guys don't make themselves available.
Is there a reason you're making noises over there in the corner? Yeah, you get anything to add to the conversation?
No, I'm more interested.
It's on the radio,
in the
Clyde,
quiz.
Sound effects booth.
Roger, you've put me in a couple for the quiz.
Go for it.
Schmeichel, Falker and Leicester.
Peter Schmeichel.
Yeah.
No, Peter didn't do it, no.
Casper.
Here's another one. Leicester, Madison, Aberdeen.
Yes. Who pulled out of the last England squad, according to Pete Diamond on Twitter,
and then went to the casino.
So there we go. It's not just us.
That's helped out there. Michael McGovern, he got Northern Ireland and Norwich. The only reason Michael McGovern played in the Premier League this season was an injury to Tim Krul.
Correct.
I think played at Falkirk before.
Okay, I think we'll leave it there. You're doing pretty well on the teaser. Remember, if you want to hear your question on the show, send it in fulltime@clyde1.com. That's where it goes. It can be similar to this, it can be different. It doesn't matter how many answers. Just send anything you've got, any ideas in, and we'll see what we can work with. Tonight's question is: name the 11 non-Scots who've played in this season's English Premier League. They've previously played in Scotland, but not for the Old Firm. The guys are doing well. They've got Matt Doherty, Wolves and Hibs, Tim Krul, Norwich and Falkirk, Sean Longstaff, James Maddison, Michael McGovern, Casper Schmeichel. You're playing along as well at Clyde SSB. I'll pick out some of the answers and we'll see if the guys can finish the list next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon DL and Roger Hanna appear to just be talking amongst themselves while the mic is on.
No,
brilliant.
Great.
This is a new law.
He's not getting away with us.
Okay, do tell. Would you want me to repeat the question? Will it set up the joke here?
Repeat the question.
Tonight's teaser is this: name the 11 non-Scots who've played in this season's English Premier League, previously played in Scotland, but not for the Old Firm.
He's just said, we've missed it. We've missed a trick. Andy Robertson.
Honestly, beyond help. Absolutely. Well, I know he withdrew from the international team, but he still is very much Scottish. Just let me refresh the memories for what we've got out there. You've got Matt Doherty, Tim Krul, Sean Longstaff, James Maddison, Michael McGovern and Casper Schmeichel. Can I just say Jim Cunningham's got one that you don't
have. What about an answer
have?
That we had to our question a couple of weeks ago? Is it Jay Rodriguez?
Oh, brilliant.
Burnley, played for Stirling Albion.
Superb, well done.
I got that one, by the way. In terms of
Xander Bentley's got some. Colin Moffat is throwing some in.
In terms of goalies, there's a few goalies in there. What about John Ruddy? He was up at Motherwell. He played for Wolves in the league this season.
No.
Just Europa League games and things like that.
Mikey, I need your Mikey, has got loads of them.
What about Paul Dummett?
Brilliant, well
Newcastle, done. St. Man. Oh, the other boy with St. Man, Aaron Moy.
Aaron Moy, Brighton.
Loving your work. Right, two to get.
Well done.
We'll leave it there. You've got two to get. Tiff has fallen for your trap, Le Gordon. He's gone you? Ryan Fraser. Non-Scots.
Scott, listen to the question.
JK raises a fair point. He says, didn't Michael McGovern play for Celtic? He was certainly at Celtic, but he never played a game. So that's why he's included.
For Hamilton.
Yeah. Yeah, but remember they had, yeah, he played for Hamilton as well, so I suppose it doesn't.
Oh, there's a thing. James McCarthy.
Yes, because we always do it. Footballing nationality.
Hamilton,
he plays
James
for
McCarthy,
Republic
Palace.
Of Ireland. Played for Crystal Palace. Right, you've only got one to get, so we'll certainly be leaving it there. We'll see how we get on. Just another story doing the rounds today, Roger. It was in your newspaper, I'm sure, so that allows me to put you on the spot. And this would be that Rangers are keeping an eye on Lewis Ferguson.
Yes.
For a potential midfield role, should the likes of Glenn Kamara or anyone else for that fact move on. Well, tell us a bit more.
Yeah, well, it's dead simple. Stephen Gerrard actually spoke at the weekend about the recruitment at Rangers, the planning at Rangers, the forward thinking at Rangers, and it's been the same at other clubs as well, obviously. He was saying that they're looking to find the next Alfredo Morelos. The day will come, I don't think it'll be January, maybe next summer, maybe beyond. The day will come when Alfredo Morelos leaves Rangers. And Stephen Gerrard doesn't want to have that day arrive and they suddenly turn around and say, right guys, what are we going to do next? They want to have the next Morelos a deal in place for him to come in. And it's going to be the same for the midfielder. Stephen Gerrard also said when he was speaking before the Livingston game last weekend, he is aware of scouts from the English Premier League coming regularly to Rangers games this season to watch Glenn Kamara. So there may well be a day on the horizon when a bid comes in that is acceptable for Glenn Kamara. Now, Rangers then need to line up someone to come in. And our understanding is that the guy they're looking at, one eye in the future, is Lewis Ferguson of Aberdeen. Now, we're not saying a deal is going to be done tomorrow or on the 1st of January, on the 31st of January, but he is one who's now come onto the radar because of his performances for Aberdeen. He's one they're actively looking at.
Yeah, I totally understand where you're coming from, Roger, but are you just plucking Ferguson out the air?
No, there's a bit more to it than that.
Okay.
There's the family connection, obviously, Gordon, in terms of the player's ability and potential. Is that one that fits for you?
Yeah, good player. I think he would fit in very well at Rangers. Very strong midfield player, Gordon. But I think Derek McInnes will have something to say to that. He'll try and hold on to him as long as he possibly can.
Yeah, and listen, he's been successful holding on to Scott McKenna so far, hasn't he?
Yeah, but I can understand why they'd be, obviously, he'd be on the radar of Rangers and any other team because he is a very, very good talented boy.
David's on the line. He's a Rangers fan from Blackburn. David, just while we're talking about it, Lewis Ferguson is very much a sort of hypothetical, a future prospect. Is that one that would interest you as a Rangers fan?
Aye, absolutely. My son told me about that today. It's a given he's going to play for Rangers, isn't he, with his family. He has to.
Yeah, I mean,
absolutely.
Sometimes, Roger, these things work out. It doesn't mean it's definitely going to happen, but you can see why people are putting the connection in there.
The quality as well, he absolutely has the quality. He's going to be a fine player.
Listen, he has the quality. He's a good player. He's doing very well at Aberdeen. You saw when he was absent because of his recent red card how much Aberdeen miss him in that engine room. And at 21 years of age, you know, that's a great recommendation for the lad.
What is it in particular, Gordon, that is getting him the attention? It always seems as if, particularly when he broke through, and for someone so young, he seems to be a lot more powerful and physical than other young Scottish players. Is that one of
strong,
his main attributes?
Very strong player, Gordon. Very strong physical player. Good talent, good user of the ball, good reader of the game, can tackle. I like midfield players that are strong and you know they can get box to box. He's that sort of a player, and at 21, he's still very, very young and a lot of good years ahead of him. So you're buying potential, or if you're getting him, you're getting potential as well. I think that Ferguson will eventually leave Aberdeen because I think he is better than Aberdeen, but whether it's Rangers or not, I don't know. I can't answer that question. The only thing is, Rangers do love that second name of Ferguson, don't they?
David, what else is on your mind tonight?
It was just a point before your break, actually, about the Scotland squad.
Sure.
I think that the country should come before the club. I know you talk about wages and stuff like that, but when you, it's frustrating when you watch Match of the Day and you see all these players who could potentially play for the Scottish national team, and they're also playing in Champions League and stuff like that, and they're not running out for Scotland at the national stadium. It really gets on my goat, because I think they should. It's a national service. Like us as supporters, who would do anything to play for our country? And I know Alan McGregor's slightly different. He's taking injections to get through games and stuff like that. But there's other players there. You try to tell me that they can't get a midweek game in there as well for the national team. I know there's a lot of games in the calendar, and some of them do struggle. But you look at other countries. Your Ryan Whelan, you know, he's at Hearts. He'll still run out for Republic Ireland if he gets a phone call. There's players in other countries as well. And I just think you mentioned a lot of the names, Matt Ritchie. You mean they could still do a fantastic job for us. And it's frustrating when you watch the telly at the weekend and they're playing at the best league in the world and they can't come and play for Scotland. It's quite frustrating as a fan.
I mean, Roger, I think that the comparison with other nations would end up driving you nuts, because we've got players who are as committed. You know, David mentions Glenn Whelan. We've got Stephen Naismith who's getting on and would still turn up. Johnny Russell, who by the way is going to join us in the studio tomorrow night, comes over all the way from Kansas, sits on the bench, barely plays, but still turns up. It's not to say we do not have some players who are committed.
He just clicks the heels of your red shoes. Charlie McGrew has been one as well.
Naismith.
Say that again, David. Sorry.
I'm just saying, you can't fault Naismith, and it's brilliant that he still wants to play for his country. But I just think the names we mentioned before the break, I don't think even Snodgrass coming back, and then because I look at it, he spat the dummy because he was in the starting team against San Marino. So it doesn't make sense to me. They wear that jersey. They play for the country, and if they're asked by the manager, they should do whatever they can to play.
Anyone want to take that up?
Yeah, listen, it's very difficult to argue with any of those points. But the sad reality now is that international football, as far as Scotland is concerned, is secondary to club football in the eyes of a number of the players.
Do you think that's the case across the board? Even though there might be examples, you know, David's mentioned some, and he feels that it doesn't impact other players. I would still guess that across the board, surely domestic football, because of the money, has now just, the landscape's shifted, has it not?
Yeah. Without doubt, of course it has.
So that's not exclusive to us?
No, it's not exclusive to us.
Are we feeling it worse than others?
If,
is that?
If we get to the glorious stage where we get back to qualifying for tournaments, starting with Euro 2020 next summer, maybe the World Cup beyond that, I think you would see a sea change among the players. I think more of the players would push themselves harder to be involved, because it then allows them to showcase their talents to a wider audience. Everybody watches the Euros, everybody watches the World Cup. You'd be surprised to know not everybody watches Cyprus v Scotland at 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. So I think you would see the players reporting more often, pushing their bodies that bit harder, because it would be in their long-term benefits. Not enough of them see the benefit of playing a double header with Cyprus and Kazakhstan.
David, some fair points well made. Thank you very much for the call. That's going to be the final one of the evening. This is what I love. See about the greats, the managerial greats across time, Gordon. You can rhyme them off. The names trip off the tongue. If they have a disappointing result, they always bounce straight back, breaking brutal at the weekend. They've gone in front after 2 minutes. Wilson's obviously got them in, had some words, rung the changes.
Now, wait, after 3 minutes. What minute did he concede in, though?
Yeah, I don't know. They've scored in the second minute.
They conceded in the sixth.
Yep.
It's 1-1 at Galabank. Scored. Crawford put them ahead after 2 minutes. Flanagan equalised after six.
I had genuinely only seen news of the opener. And
Gordon,
I keep saying this about him. He loses goals as soon as he scores.
I swear I was
By
joking.
The way, we don't have time for this, I'm afraid.
Because he was on today going off his head about that.
What about conceding after they score? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, good. I'm phone him.
One more on the teaser. What have you got?
No chance. No for me.
This one's really tough. Not to say the rest of them haven't been, but this one is.
Roger? Come on, Sean.
Incredible.
Come on, Roger. You can do it.
Well, down the music's playing. It's clue time now, Gordon.
Burnley?
Yes.
Inverness.
Burnley and Inverness?
Uh-huh. Yeah, you will never even have heard of this guy.
Doesn't go. I don't believe you anyway.
Who's been in the Burnley team this season?
Well, he's played. Honestly, I'll just tell you the name.
Yeah, go for it. Position first.
I would tell you if I knew. I can't remember. Charlie Taylor.
Oh, check.
Oh, the left back. I didn't know Charlie Taylor had been at Inverness.
Thank you to Gordon and Roger. We're back tomorrow. Mark Guiri and Jim Duffy, a special guest after seven, Johnny Russell. Stephen Mill is going to keep you company next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. The league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.